Well, hey guys, welcome back. And it is going to be, as we've said, a great morning where we're able to lean into God's word and learn together. I want to just start out, and if you are new or you've not been a part of the Element family yet, you've not connected with us, we'd like to connect with you. And we would like to let you know how you can do that connection with us. But we need to know that you're there and that you're watching. So if you would go ahead and text in the keyword Element to 97,000, so 97 with three zeros. We can go ahead and you'll get a link to your phone or wherever you put that in, that Element to 97,000, and you'll get a link to your phone. Click it, fill out that form, and that will let us know who you are and allow us to connect with you. And we want to do that. So, you guys, we are today as we move into our teaching time. We are kind of in a standalone teaching here this morning, so we'll be starting a new series in December. The current plan for that series is called I'll Be Home for Christmas, which if you can't laugh at that and you can't have fun with that, so we'll be looking into that series starting in December. But for the next 2 weeks, I just want to kind of take a little sidestep and just talk to us about some things that are on my heart, some things that I'm sensing. In our family, we're going to take up a special offering next weekend for our future facility offering because we are still planning to get back together as a church, you guys, and we need a place to do that. And so we're praying. And even as we move into January and our season of 21 days of prayer and fasting, which, by the way, guys, that's coming up. So get that on your calendars. If you do not have that on your calendar yet, I really have been sensing the Lord emphasizing for me personally that fasting component as we move into January. And I just want to continue as a church family to be expectant of what God is going to do and expectant of how God is going to open doors for us as a church to continue to proceed forward in the mission that he's given us. And so part of that is our facility, and we do not know where yet, and we do not know what, but we know that God is preparing something for us, and we want to continue to put aside funds to get ready to step through that door when God opens it. And so we'll be doing that next weekend. And so for these 2 weeks, I just really want to talk to us about, kind of what I'm sensing with our family. And I just start out this morning and with a little bit of vulnerability and just say, for me, this recent thing with COVID and kind of feeling like it's been a setback and kind of a loop back into kind of distance and whatever, it kind of felt like we were making some progress, and now it kind of feels like we're looped back. And, I feel like I've been handling most of this stuff fairly well. It was tough for me. And so I was having the pity party kind of thing. I don't know if you guys are anything like me. And I was really just kind of processing and praying. And I felt like the Lord emphasized some things for me personally that I wanted to share with us today. And so if I had a title for the message today, it would be called Talking to Myself. And talking to yourself, sometimes people think in our society, if you talk to yourself, there's something chemically imbalanced or off with you. I would say that successful people talk to themselves. And this is a little bit more intricate or sophisticated than we might first realize, because I'll go back to the book of Genesis. Did you guys know that we are created in the image of God? God is a triune being. That means there's three parts to him. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're created in his image. And for us, we are a spirit who we have a soul and we live in a body. So as you look at this video today and you see me, this is a body that I'm in, and it's part of who I am, but it's not the totality of who I am. And I have a soul, which is my mind, my will, and my emotions, which is who I am, but it's not the totality of who I am. And then I have a spirit, which the Bible says is what is born again when I receive Jesus and ask him to come into my life and I surrender to him as my Lord and Savior. And then my spirit actually is in perfect fellowship with God, and that the Holy Spirit is actually dwelling in me with my spirit. And so that is who I am, but it's not the totality of who I am. And so what's interesting is when we talk about talking to ourselves, we have to understand that there are, because we're triune in nature, there is parts of us that feel things and can talk, and that those three components need to have specific interaction with each other. And so this kind of this interesting thing of, when we stop, a lot of people say, well, listen to your heart. A lot of people say, well, stop and listen to what you're feeling. And there's value to some of that. But really, I think there's also a value to saying what I'm feeling is not always true. It's always real, but it's not always accurate, because I'm not always interpreting my emotions properly in light of God's truth. And so sometimes what I need to do is not allow myself to feel something and go there, but I need to actually talk to myself. And this is actually a very scriptural idea, which I know it might sound odd, but in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, I'm going to give you a couple scriptures to contextualize this, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to jump it really into rocking and rolling this morning. But 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, and oh, by the way, we put the notes for today on our website because we won't have the scriptures behind us on the screen. So they are on the website. If you go to media, you'll see message notes right in there, and you can get right into all my notes here, and you'll have them there for yourself. You can check that out on our website, theelement.church, and then media, and you'll see it in the drop down there. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does." Well, why not? Because, well, we live physically in a physical world, but there's more going on than just the physical. We're triune in nature. "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Check this out. "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God." And then watch this. "And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Can I tell you something? Everybody look at me. Every thought that you have is not true. Every thought that we have isn't true. Every thought that we have is not true in light of God's word. And so we take thought, we take captive our thoughts. And I think of like an interrogation, like you take someone captive and you set them in a chair and you shine a light in their face and go, "Who are you? Where did you come from? And do you have permission to be here?" And I think sometimes we have thoughts or we have emotions that we need to actually take captive and make them obedient to Jesus. Who are you? Where did you come from? And do you have a right to be here? Where did you come from? Did you come from God? You know, do you have a right to be here? Are you in line with Jesus? So this idea of taking our thoughts and emotions and actually speaking to them, talking to them. In Psalm 42, check this out. It says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God." Verse 2, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" So he's like, I really long to hear from God. How can I connect with God? How can I meet God? And I know for a lot of us in a season like this, we're feeling that same way. It's like, how can I connect with God? How can I meet with God? I feel like I don't know how to reach him. I don't know how to get to him. Check this out. He continues, "My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, 'Where's your God?'" He's struggling. He's like, I'm eating daily my own tears. It's bad, right? And then check out verse 5. "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God." Do you see it? He's talking to himself. He's like, "Look, I'm longing for God. Where can I go and meet with him? I don't know. My tears have been my food day and night. People are saying to me, 'Where is your God?'" At verse 4, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul. I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise." And then verse 5. "Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God." And I think sometimes you guys to pause and to just talk to ourselves like, "Hey, soul, why are you so downcast? Hey, soul, why are you so disturbed? Put your hope in God, for yet I will praise him, my Savior and my God." And you can keep reading there, but if you skip ahead to verse 11, he says it again. "Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for yet I'll praise him, my Savior and my God." And actually, if you continue to read into Psalm 43, he says it again. "Oh, why, my soul, are you so downcast?" Hey, talking to himself. He's talking to himself. And so sometimes I think we're not crazy if we talk to ourselves. We're actually successful if we talk to ourselves. So I want to pray over us, and we're going to look some more into this morning. So Father, thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for making us triune and complex beings, made in your image. And we thank you, God, that feelings are not wrong. They're not bad. They're just not always good guides. And so God, today, even as we're feeling things and as emotions are happening and as we move in toward Thanksgiving and Christmas, and there's just a lot of things that so many of us are feeling. God, election and politics and race, and God, there's so many things we're feeling. God, would you teach us how to examine our thoughts and our emotions in light of your truth? And God, would you teach us how to speak to ourselves, God, in light of who you are and the truth of your faithfulness over our lives? And so we thank you for that this morning. Thank you for illuminating your word, and thank you for speaking to us in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Awesome, guys. Well, I have a couple kind of keys to us learning to talk to ourselves, for us learning to process what's actually happening in light of God's truth. And so I want to take us to a couple points this morning. Point one is, if we're going to talk to ourselves and we're going to actually take God's truth and kind of run our emotions and thoughts through that filter of God's truth, the first thing that we've got to do is we've got to stop hiding what's actually happening inside of us from ourselves. And for so many of us, and I'll just speak for myself too, and I know you're probably like me, a lot of you are like me, I'm not always good at understanding what's actually happening on the inside of me. And I'm, you know, I'm tough, right? Like I'm just like the guy, I'm just going to keep going. Like, I'm just going to keep moving. And so it's like these things are coming. And in a season like this, there's all these pains and there's all these losses and there's all this stuff that's been coming. And it's like we're in a war and we keep getting cut, we keep getting injured, but we just keep pressing on because we're in a fight. And really, I think we have to learn to stop and to process what's actually happening on the inside of us. In Genesis 3, and I won't read all of this, it's in the notes there on our website, but in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve are in the garden, God creates them, they eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which God told them not to eat of. And it says that their eyes were opened and they realized they were naked and they were ashamed and they made coverings for themselves. And then in verse 8, it says that the man and the woman heard God in the cool of the day coming to talk with them and to fellowship with them. And it says this in verse 9, the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid." And here's what's so interesting is that we're really good hiders. A lot of us are really good at hiding. And when we really take a look at what's truly happening on the inside of us, we would just like to hide. I've used this analogy before, but it's kind of like we're driving in a car and the car's our life and there's like clunking in the engine. And instead of, because like for me, I'm not a huge car guy. So like pulling over is terrifying sometimes because you're like, I don't really know what's happening on the inside of the engine there. And I don't know if I can fix it. And so what we like to do sometimes is just turn the radio up or roll the windows down and just do something to make noise, increase the conversation or whatever, in order that we don't have to stop and actually take stock of what's truly happening. And I think if we're going to learn to talk to ourselves in light of God's truth, we're going to have to learn to stop and be honest with ourselves about what's actually happening on the inside of us instead of hiding. And even in the garden, we see from the very beginning of the Bible that Adam and Eve were taking on pain. They were taking on loss. And instead of actually going to God and talking to him about it or really processing it, they're covering it. They're sowing fig leaves and trying to find ways to cover it, and then they're hiding. And that's the problem with not processing what's really happening on the inside of us, is that we start hiding and we go to shame and we go to covering up. And what that eventually leads to is distance in relationship, both from our own hearts and from our God. And so God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but he does expect us to be honest. And if we're going to be honest, we've got to actually be able to stop and take stock of what's truly happening on the inside of us. King David in the Old Testament did some real bad stuff. He had an affair with a woman named Bathsheba. He oversaw the murder of her husband. And so it was adultery and murder. And that's a terrible thing. But then David does the only thing that could probably make all of that worse, is that he hides it. He hides it. And here's the problem with hiding what's actually happening, is that it doesn't disappear. It's just in hiding. It doesn't go away. When we don't stop and process what's actually happening on the inside of us emotionally or otherwise, it doesn't go away. We just stuff it under the surface. And I've told this story before, but my daughter Karis, when she was really little, she would sneak out of her bed at night, and she had this philosophy as a one-year-old or 1.5-year-old. And her philosophy was, if I can't see you, you can't see me. And so she would get out of her bed and she would literally army crawl down the hallway. And a lot of times she would put a blanket over her head and she'd crawl down, and then she'd open up and look around, and then she'd put the blanket back down and she'd crawl around. And the idea was, if I can't see you, you can't see me. What's fascinating is one time Pastor Eric and I, we just stood around the corner and we videotaped her. And it was so funny to watch her, because she was very stealth mode crawling around. But it was so obvious. We're sitting there as her parents watching her crawl down the hallway, and she's hiding, but she's not hiding. Nothing has disappeared. Nothing's gone. She's just in an alternate reality of her own making. And I want us to stop and pause for a second and say that God our Father watches us live, and we often hide things from ourselves, and we think oh, well, I'm not paying attention to that, and I'm just pretending that's not there, and so it's not there. No, no, it is there. God knows it's there. Other people might even know it's there, but we've begun living in an alternate reality where we're pretending like we're like it's not there, and we're hiding. And so David did it. King David did it in the Old Testament. He started living in alternate reality. Adam and Eve started hiding from God in the garden. And so there's a great power for things that stay in the dark, even in our own hearts, even in the things that are unprocessed or things that are not, we won't even admit to ourselves. And there's a great power in things staying in the dark. There's also a great power in things coming into the light. And we've talked about caves in the past, and there's three zones in a cave, and there's an entrance zone, a twilight zone, and a dark zone. And the entrance zone is where light is, the twilight zone is where it goes from light to dark, and the dark zone is where there's no light in a cave. And there's things that live in the dark zone, but only because nutrients from the light actually come in and actually feed into the dark. There's nothing that lives in the dark. No life comes from the dark places. So a bat might fly in from outside and come in and do its bat business. And then, you know, there's organisms that can live off of the nutrients that came from the light. There's organisms in the dark that can live there, but there's nothing that births in the dark place. There's no nutrients there. There's no life there. And for us in our life, we've got to move things out of the dark places into the light places, even in our own hearts. And again, there's a great power in getting things from the dark into the light. And in order to do that, it starts with being honest with ourselves. It starts with being honest with what we're experiencing. And I was listening to a guy talk about how we process emotions and we process things that happen in our life. And he talked about the three P's. And I want you to see if this sounds familiar to you, because when things, losses and pain happen to me, these are the things that start to happen. He talks about the three P's of how we process things. Ready? First is when something bad or painful happens, we make it, the first one is personal. We make it personal. I did something wrong. I'm a failure. So, you know, something happens and it's like, oh, woe is me. This is like the three P's of a pity party. It's like, woe is me. It becomes personal. I couldn't do that right. I didn't do that right. If I would have been smarter, if I would have led better, if I would have loved better, if I would have spoken different, if I, on and on and on. And again, there's great power in self-reflection, but this is like, we begin to go from I've done something wrong to like, I am something wrong, and we make it personal and it becomes personal. The next one is it becomes pervasive. So, I did this, I'm a failure. And then everyone hates me. My whole life is terrible. And I don't know if you guys are relating to this. It's like, man, I get personal and then it gets pervasive. It gets big. It gets holistic. It gets like, it wasn't a situation that happened. It was like, this always happens. And then it moves from personal, pervasive, and then it goes to permanent. It won't be any different tomorrow. Nothing is ever going to change. And we start to lose hope. And what ends up happening, you guys, is that we take on pain, we take on loss, and we don't process it, and it becomes personal, pervasive, and permanent. And what we do is we begin to lose hope, we begin to lose faith, and we begin to spiral into this self-pity party. And what we need to do is we need to start talking to ourselves. We need to start taking the truth of God and say, oh, my soul, why so downcast within me? Your God is a great God. Your God is a God who's been faithful. And I want to land this in some application, you guys. This is where prayer comes in. And for a lot of years, I felt like, man, there's something in prayer I'm still missing. I understand it's talking to God, but prayer is sitting and processing with God in the places where we're unprocessed and where we're ungrieved and where we're hurting. And I heard this statement about a month ago. It said, life is a series of unprocessed and ungrieved losses. It actually was talking about ministry, but it's the same for life. Life is a series of unprocessed and ungrieved losses. And you know what? For those of us who kind of bow out of life or bow out of leading or bow out of loving or bow out of being present, it's not usually one thing that took place. It's usually the culmination of things that took place that we did not process and we did not grieve. And so if we're going to start talking to ourselves in an effective way and we're going to move through our pain, we're going to have to start being honest about what's actually happening on the inside of us and stop hiding from ourselves. The second thing, if we're going to do this, is that we're going to have to stop hiding what's actually happening on the inside of us from God. So first one, we're going to have to stop hiding what's actually happening on the inside of us from ourselves. And then the second one is we're going to have to stop hiding it from God. And I already talked about Karis and how she would crawl down in that blanket and how as parents, we could totally see what was happening. You know, in the garden when Adam and Eve were hiding and God said, oh, Adam, where are you? And God knew where Adam was. You can't play hide and seek with God. He always wins. He knows. He's God. He's omnipresent. He knows all things. When he showed up and Adam was hiding around the back corner in the bush, God's like, Adam, where are you? That was a rhetorical question that was asking for a response from Adam in order to serve Adam well to help him process. It was not something where God was like dumbfounded, like, oh, where did the guy that I created out of dust and breathed life into his lungs, where did he go? He's like, he's back there behind the bush. I see him, right? I know exactly where he is. And so here's the thing. When we're hiding from God, it's like we're just hiding it from us. We need to do honest confession with God. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And here's the deal. That's true for sin in our life. It's also true just for the things that we're feeling and processing. You know, prayer, as I alluded to, is talking to God, yes. But I think for so many of us, we think prayer consists of what I'm supposed to say to God. Everybody listen to me. If prayer for us becomes what we're supposed to say to God, I don't know that it's truly prayer. It might be a portion of prayer, but if we are all about what we're supposed to say to God, I don't know that that's truly prayer. And prayer has to move in our life from what I'm supposed to say to what I'm allowed to say, because that's a different thing. Like, oh, well, I'm supposed to say this, but if I don't say that, well, what am I allowed to say? Because there's some things I'm just not allowed to say. And then it has to move from what I'm supposed to say to what I'm allowed to say to, and this is a little phrase I wrote down in my notes, to say what's inside and to say it like it is. And I think that for so many of us, God has been waiting for us to get honest in the place of prayer, both with ourselves and with him. And can I tell you something? God's big enough. He's got big enough shoulders to handle whatever you have to say. He wants to talk to you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to know, and ready, here's where it gets really interesting. He already knows what's happening on the inside of you, but he wants to know what's happening on the inside of you for you, because he wants you to be able to put it into words and to be able to talk to him. And that's what prayer is about. You know, the Bible says that Jesus actually withdrew often in the night hours, and he would go and with weeping and tears, he would cry out to God in the night times. You know, I think we've really lost the art of prayer in some ways in the Christian church. And I heard a guy say that as a church, we've lost the art of Gethsemane prayer. And he talked about Gethsemane prayer and how when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he actually withdrew to a safe place. It was the Garden of Gethsemane where he would pray. And then he was surrounded by people that loved him. And then he withdrew a little bit, and it said that he poured what was on the inside. He said what was on the inside as it was, and he poured it out to God to the point of sweating blood. And he said, God, I do not want to do this. I don't want to do this. I want this cup to pass from me. I'm not okay with this. I'm not happy about this. I'm not in a happy place about this. And he poured it out to God. And then he rallies, and he says, and God, yeah, I need your help. Help me be faithful to what you've called me to do. And where that kind of Gethsemane prayer eventually leads us is to fully processing with God so that, and when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he had clarity of mind and he had clarity of emotion because he had processed in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the place of prayer, he had processed those places of wounds and hurt. And I think that we need to re-understand that this idea of cleansing our heart of anger and bitterness and actually dealing with what's truly happening on the inside of us. Hebrews 4:16 says this, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Do you know, God wants you to come to him with all of what's happening on the inside of you. And if we're going to really learn to process and to talk to ourselves and actually to align our lives with the truth of God, we're going to have to be honest and stop hiding what's on the inside, both from ourselves and from God. And number three is we're going to have to stop hiding what's actually happening on the inside of us from others. And I wrote this, at least one other person. And that doesn't mean that we have to take all that's happening on the inside of it and just spread it out to everybody. But the Bible's very interesting in the fact that we need vertical relationship with God and that we're desperate for that. But it doesn't stop there. It actually says that we need horizontal relationship with other human beings. And there's something about being honest, about stopping the hiding from what's actually happening on the inside of us. From ourselves, yes, and from God, yes, but also from someone else, another trusted person. And you know, there's such a power when we're struggling, when we're wrestling, to actually just pick up a phone or to actually just reach out to someone and just say, hey, I'm struggling. Hey, would you pray with me? To send a Voxer, to send a Marco Polo and just go, hey, I'm just feeling really like lonely tonight. Or, hey, would you pray with me? Or would you pray for me? Or, hey, I'm just, you know, I'm really struggling about X, Y, Z. And this is what I'm feeling. And I know it's real feelings, but I'm not sure it's right. And so I'm not sure it's truth. And would you just speak truth over me? Do you have any scriptures about this or about that? Do you have any scriptures about being disheartened? And we can reach out and confess to a trusted someone else. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And again, it works with sin. It also works with just our emotions and what we're processing. And so confession to God opens a certain door for forgiveness and healing, but then confession to another human on a horizontal plane actually works for a certain level of healing. And we need each other, and we need to come out of the dark places and come out of the dark zones into the light, yes, with ourselves and yes, with God, but also maybe with a trusted someone else. Acts 24:16 in the English Standard Version, the ESV, Paul says this. He says, so I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man. And so there's this reality where we need to be honest with ourselves and then we need to be honest with God, but we also need to have a clear conscience. We need to take pains to be clear with others. And we need each other. And so just a practical application here is just the Element community. And you guys, I know we're dispersed all over the place right now. I know that we have, you know, challenges governmentally that, you know, in many ways, we're like rightly so, right? We're trying to protect people. We're trying to care for people and love people well. But, you know, we're dispersed right now. And so we need to be intentional as an Element community to stay in contact with each other. We need to be reaching out to each other. If you feel alienated and alone, reach out to somebody that you know from church. Reach out to someone and just say, hey, I feel real disconnected. Like, you know, can we soap together? Can we read the Bible together? For some of you, if you've never even made a connection at Element yet, you don't know what to do, go to our website, theelement.church, and there's groups there. And there's also church at home groups, which right now so many of us are meeting virtually, but we are meeting virtually. There's groups of people right now on Zoom rooms that are listening to me talk. Hi guys, so awesome to be with all of you. And, you know, and they're together and we're together and not maybe in the way we'd like to be, but yes, in a way that is real and true, and we can be there for one another. So check that out. Groups, church at home. And you know what? Let's continue as an Element family, as we're dispersed, let's take those intentional steps to stay connected to each other because we need each other. And if we're going to live in light of God's truth and talk to ourselves, we're going to need to be honest about what's really happening on the inside with ourselves and with God and with somebody else. And then number four, and last point is, we're going to have to stop hiding what's actually happening on the inside of us from choking our steps of action and faith. And, you know, it's really interesting that when you do not process what's actually happening on the inside of you, it eventually starts to steal your action and it eventually starts to steal your faith. And, you know, we were talking in Psalm 42 where he says, oh, my soul, why so downcast? And then he says, you have a God who's been with you. You have a God who's been so faithful. And you guys, as Christians, we have an opportunity to actually talk to our pain, to actually talk to our unprocessed places, to actually talk to our fear and our failures and our unbelief. And we can actually say, hey, want to remind you, soul, you have a God who's really good and who's been really faithful and who really loves you and has done everything that is needed for you to actually approach him in all of his power and all of his glory. And he's with you. And we can re-put our future back into the hand of our hope and our trust in our God because he's been faithful in the past and he'll be faithful in our future. And when we start to remind ourselves of that, we can start to move back into action and we can start to move back into faith. You know, John 3:16, as so many of us are familiar with that scripture, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." We know that scripture and we're so thankful for the clarity of that scripture. But it's interesting that as you keep moving past John 3:16, you get into John 3:17, which says, "God did not come into the world to condemn the world but to save the world." And then as you keep reading, check this out into verse 19. This is the verdict then. I'm reading out of scripture, John 3:19. This is the verdict then, that light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Let me paraphrase that. It says, God came into the world and he loved you and he gave his son for you, and he didn't come into the world to condemn you, but to save you. And here's the verdict. Stop living in the dark. Just go ahead and come into the light because God's goodness has allowed you to do that. And when we're in the dark, things don't live there. When we come into the light, God's life is there. Verse 20, everybody who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear of their deeds will be exposed. Verse 21, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen what they have done and that it's been done in the sight of God. Do you see that what the Bible's talking about is that there's these places in our life, yes, it can be sin, but it can also just be unprocessed pain. It can be places where we've just not been honest about what we're feeling because we're supposed to not feel that way. And God says, God in John 3:16, God loves you and he gave his son for you. In John 3:17, he didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. And here's the verdict. Go ahead and move into the light and just live in the light and just go ahead and let the hidden places of your heart open to him because he wants to bring you into the good places of light so that he can heal you and you can experience his life in a fresh way. And the context for coming into the light is John 3:16 and 17, God's love for you. And so we can trust God with exposing the places that are hiding in the dark or the places that we feel like are not presentable. Super practically, and then I'll move into one more example and we'll close. Here's the deal, you guys. So many of us feel like in a season like this that we're supposed to feel a certain way. And we've not really stopped to process what we're really feeling. And we've not been honest with ourselves and we've not been honest with God. And we've probably not, because of that, probably not been able to be honest with someone else who's trusted and close to us. And it has begun to steal our hope and has begun to steal our faith and has begun to steal our action of faith. And we've got to go back and we've got to say, God, help me bring out of the dark places what's unprocessed and let me get it into the light, God, so that you can heal it and touch it and you can bring your truth over it. And God, I'm afraid to do that, but God, I know that your love covers me in such a way that I can go ahead and do that process with you. And I want to give you an example of that. It's one of my favorites from the Bible, Mark 3, 1 through 5. I'll set the scene for you. There's a man who has a withered hand. It's a hand that is withered. It's ugly. It's unpresentable. It's probably something that he spent most of his life trying to ignore or avoid or hide or pretend does not exist. And so maybe it's hidden in a cloak. Maybe it's stuffed in a pocket. Maybe it's kept behind his back. I don't know exactly, but it represents something in his life that he's not comfortable being honest about. It represents something in his life that he's willing to hide or to stuff down or to keep in the dark because he's not willing to bring it out into the light. And in Mark 3, it says that Jesus goes into the synagogue and there's a man there with a withered hand. And it says that there was a lot of religious people that wanted to accuse Jesus and it was a Sabbath and he wasn't supposed to heal. And Jesus is frustrated about this. And in verse 3, it says this, Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." So, you know, Jesus doesn't always, you know, he doesn't just heal in the quiet place all the time. Sometimes he's like, hey, that thing that you've not processed, that thing that you've not been honest about, the thing that's been stuffed in the pocket or hidden in your cloak or hid behind your back, we're going to have to get it out into the light so that we can deal with it. And here's my, I believe as a pastor, here's my promise to you from God. Okay. Here's the promise from God. He does not expose things to shame us. He does not bring things into the light to shame us. He brings things into the light and exposes them to heal them. And whatever the place is that's unprocessed of pain in you, whatever the thing is that you're afraid to be honest with yourself about, he wants you to be honest with it and to bring it out to be seen, not so that you'll be shamed, but so that you'll be healed. And in verse 3, Jesus says to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everybody." Then Jesus asked them, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" what's lawful, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill. They remain silent. And then check this out in verse 5. Jesus looked around at them in anger, the religious people, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He said to the man with the shriveled hand, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. And as I read this story years ago, I felt like the Holy Spirit prompted something on the inside of me. And this is what I sensed that he said. Jesus did not tell the man which hand to stretch forward. He had two hands, one of strength and one that was withered. And Jesus said, stretch forward your hand. Come out into the light and let people see. Come out into the light and be honest with what you've been hiding. And he said, when you stretch out your hand that's been in hiding, God will heal it. God will meet you there. And you know what? For so many of us, we've not been honest with ourselves about what we're feeling in a season like this. And it started to steal our hope and our faith. We've started to do the three P's. It's become personal and it's become pervasive and it's become permanent. And we're in serious pity party mode. And you know, life is a series of unprocessed wounds and unhealed hurts. And we've got to go in and we've got to be honest about what's actually happening. And when we do that, and Jesus says, stretch forward your hand, and we choose as an act of our will to stretch forward the broken things, Jesus says, that's what I'm going to heal. And the man got to pick which hand he stretched to God. And we today have a choice of what hand we stretch to God. I'll close with this statement from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He wrote a book called Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cures. And on page 20 and 21, there's this quote. It says, the main trouble in this whole matter of spiritual depression, in a sense, is this, that we allow ourselves to talk to us instead of talking to ourselves. The main art in this matter of spiritual living is to know how to handle yourself. Well, I lost my spot in my notes here. Hold on just a second. Okay. Sorry, so here's what's going on. We have our team and they're putting the notes into the comments for you guys. And all of my notes just moved. So here we are. Okay, ready? The main art in the matter of spiritual living is to know how to handle yourself. You have to take yourself in hand. You have to address yourself. Preach to yourself. Question yourself. You must say to your soul, why are you so downcast? What business do you have to be disquieted? You must turn on yourself, unbraid yourself, exhort yourself, condemn yourself, say to yourself, hope thou in God. And instead of muttering in this depressed, unhappy way, and then you must go and remind yourself of God, who God is, what God is, and what God has done, and what God has pledged himself to do. Then having done that, end on this great note. Defy yourself and defy other people and defy the devil and the whole world and say to this man, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, who is also the health of my countenance, my God. And here's the thing, you guys, we've got to learn. Mature people know how to quiet themselves and how to stir themselves, and mature people know how to talk to themselves. And we've got to continue to take what's out of hiding on the inside, be honest about it with ourselves, with God, with others, and move into action and faith to speak to our own souls and say, you have a God who has not left you and has not forsaken you. He is still on the throne. He's still God over all creation. He's still the God that wins in the end. And oh my soul, why do you not remember your God? And I want to pray that over us this morning. So let's do that. Father, I pray over each and every one of us. God, I pray for those of us who, God, we feel like we're supposed to feel a certain way or supposed to say a certain thing. And so we've in a sense been hiding, God, what we're truly feeling. And we've been unprocessed and we're carrying around hurts that need to be touched by you, God. And so I pray right now, God, for each person listening to my voice, that this would be a moment this morning to begin to be honest with ourselves and begin to be honest with you. And God, hopefully begin to be honest with maybe with someone else in the hours and the days and the weeks to come. And God, I just pray that there would be a confidence and a strength that would come over us, that there would be a health and a maturity that would come over us as your people. And God, that we would begin learning or relearning or learning in a deeper way this process of being honest with you, God. We refuse to be the ones hiding in the garden. We refuse to be the ones stitching fig leaves to try to cover ourselves. God, we want to come to you in those places, and we seek your healing, God. We seek you to bring restoration. And so I pray that, God, over us as we bring things out of the dark places into the light. God, would you bring your healing and restoration over us? I pray that you do something special in our hearts today, God. I pray, God, that you would meet us in a unique way today, God, that you would come and speak your truth, and you would come and speak your love, and you would come and speak your hope again, that you would stir faith again, God, that you would stir, God, dreams that have been forgotten, God, you would stir places where you've spoken, and God, the unprocessed wounds and hurts of life have come and started to snatch that away. I speak against the enemy right now in Jesus' name, and I silence your voice. I silence the personal, pervasive, and permanent demonic lies that come over us. I silence them now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, God, that your truth is rushing in a fresh way today. God, we are loved. God, we are purposed. God, we are valuable. God, we are set apart, God, by you and for you. God, by your power and in your strength. Oh, my soul. Oh, our souls. Why so downcast and distraught within us? You have a God who's come and given you all that you need. And you can run to him today, and he will re-spark again that fresh faith and fresh hope on the inside. And so I pray that over us, not just in an academic way, but in an experiential, God, truth settling down deep in our soul. And God, as we deal with the places in our souls that have been hidden, and we bring them out into the light, and we stretch forth the withered places, God, thank you for healing and touching us today in a fresh way. We thank you for that, God. That's called revival. And so we pray for that, God, over ourselves and over our family, over our city. God, we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. And just in this moment of prayer, if you've never started a relationship with Jesus and you want to do that today, would you pray this with me? Say, God, I believe that Jesus was your son and he died on the cross to pay for my sin. I surrender my life and I open my life up to you. I come into the light today and I ask you to come in and to have every piece and every part of me. I want to live my life for you. I confess that you're my Lord and my Savior from today forward. And I surrender to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you guys, have been an awesome morning. If you prayed that prayer for a first time, or you prayed that prayer to start a relationship or to recommit your life to Jesus in a fresh way, if you would text the keyword element to 97,000, we'll go ahead and we'll get that link out to you. You can fill out the little form, and there's a box on the form that it says, I started a relationship with Jesus today. Click that box, and when you send that form in, we've got a series of emails that will get you started out on the right foot. Get involved in a good Bible-believing church. We like this one. We'll invite you to be part of the Element family. And guys, what we're going to do now is move into worship, and we're going to ask ourselves this question today. Holy Spirit, what one thing are you speaking to me today from what's been shared from your word, God? And number two, what do I need to do this week because of it? Holy Spirit, come and speak to our hearts. What's the one thing you want each of us to take away? And number two, what's the one thing we need to do this week because of it? Let's go ahead and let's move into worship this morning, and let's worship Jesus together.